Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick. He's the senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, are there any bright spots on the stock market right now?
Well, most of the market seems to be on hold because we're waiting to see what happens with the debt ceiling. I still think they aren't going to work out a deal, despite the happy talk we're hearing out of Washington, D.C., and I still expect that we're going into default, even if only for a short time. That's the way I'm playing it. However, the market apparently disagrees. You can tell by the way gold's selling off and stuff like that. They expect that this thing is fixed. Eventually, it's going to be fixed one way or the other. It's whether we go into default first or not, they're going to work out a deal. And I can tell you what's working now is probably what's going to work after the deal. And the things that are leading our portfolio higher are things like NVIDIA, Splunk, Block. These are all tech names, you know? I mean, that is what is really working. I guess people are still burned by the supply chain stuff, so they want things that that don't have to worry about that, or else maybe they're fearful of a global recession, but they're buying these stocks anyway. A couple of those names are because of AI, which has all the buzz on Wall Street now. So it's, you know, I think that's overdone, but I'm still riding the trend, right? I mean, if people are going to throw money at you, you might as well take it. And I think this AI trend could go on for a while until the next big thing comes along. So that's kind of what's working for us right now.
Yeah, now I remember the 80s when they said, oh, well, technology, what's wrong with that? Let's all just throw all of our money into anything labeled technology. And then, 90% of those companies went bankrupt?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the same thing's going to happen to AI. I can tell you, I do talk to some smart people who really think it's the bee's knees. I just think it's overdone. The other thing that's working for us is lithium, which recently put in a bottom, like last week it did. So that's nice. But other lithium names look cheap at recent prices. And so I think people should look at that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, uranium, is that making a bounce back?
I have no idea. Let's look at the magic chart. Let's see. The best tell for that is Cameco, and like the rest of the market, it's just going sideways. It hasn't gone anywhere this year. But you know what? You can say that for most of the broad market. I mean, tech's going higher due to the AI names, maybe. Maybe like cybersecurity, but the real thing that's dragging tech higher is Apple. Apple now has the same market cap as the entire Russell 2000. So, you know, there's a few things, tentpole stocks that are bringing the market higher. Most of the market is going sideways, and it will continue to go sideways until we get resolution on the debt ceiling, because people don't, that's very, very hard to game out exactly how that's going to play out. I hear people speaking with all sorts of confidence one way or the other. I don't have confidence. I'm really worried. You know, I'm really worried that things can go wrong, and I'm trying to prepare for that. But I don't pretend to know exactly how this thing's going to go.
Is this one of those things where do you keep cash on the sidelines hoping that there's going to be bargains in the foreseeable future?
I guess so. And I can tell you what I've told my subscribers is that ahead of the make or break date of June 1st, I'm going to be taking cash out of the bank and putting it in my safe at home. Just because I know there is talk now that things are going to work out, and I really hope it does. But we have two very intransigent sides in Washington, D.C. right now, and there's no guarantee that it's going to work out without another crisis, you know? And so there's all kind of worst-case scenarios if we have that kind of crisis. Most of them have gold going higher, despite the recent sell-off we've seen of it. So, but cash is always king, yes. People should have cash for any buying opportunities that actually come out at the end of this. Of course, I can tell you, when they finally announce that they have a deal, the stocks will already be moving because the insiders already hear it from their friends in Washington.
Of course, all your congresspeople are big investors in the market.
Yes, exactly.
And there's no rule saying they can't.
Right. They don't get the normal insider trading penalties. Just like Supreme Court justices can take bribes, and apparently the law doesn't apply to them. Must be a funny place, Washington, D.C.
Well, you get to make your own rules.
Yeah, very nice.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, do you think the Fed's going to continue to hike rates, or are they going to hold off for a little bit now?
They're threatening it. The odds of the Fed hiking rates at the next meeting in June have gone up from under 10% to around 30% now. That's because of some very hawkish talk by some of the Fed governors. So we'll have to see what happens. I know what they don't like. They don't like that so many people have jobs. It really ticks them off.
Mm.
The case for the pause is that inflation is really coming down. It's really, you know, easing right now. Much of that is due to the supply chain snafus that have actually been sorted out now. But things keeping inflation up, well, many companies are using the opportunity to raise prices whether they needed to or not. You can see this in plenty of, like, earnings calls where they say they took the opportunity to raise prices and it's working out for them. Well, that kind of, you know, adds inflation that Fed hikes will not actually deal with without causing major economic stress. So I'm actually, I just can't figure the Fed out right now. They should declare victory and move on, but they're not doing that. And so we'll have to see how the June meeting goes. It'll be very interesting to see how their language changes at the June meeting, whether they pause or raise. I mean, what are they talking about that wants to make them keep raising? That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, well, also, the Fed's only tool for fighting inflation is higher interest rates. But now I'm seeing studies saying, well, higher interest rates are the biggest cause of the inflation.
That's true. That is one of the causes of inflation is higher interest rates, because companies have interest rate costs, of course, you know. And that's why so many banks got in trouble, too. But I'm sure your listeners know that, which is that they were not set up for the kind of high interest rates we have. They thought that the Fed would see some sense and move lower, and that's not happening. So you have to wonder, what other banks are out there just teetering on the precipice, you know? I mean, the banking crisis may not be over. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that it hasn't, that it hasn't ended at all. And so that's one other thing to keep in mind. Now, normally, I'd say when there's a banking crisis, the Fed will meet that by lowering rates, but that's not happening, is it? So, again, this adds to the uncertainty that has the market in kind of a straitjacket right now.
Anything happening on the cannabis front?
Not really. There was talk of another legalization bill moving through Congress, you know, and yeah, they like to talk about it for a week, and then just the buzz goes away. Schumer, I mean, I don't know if, like, he could pass the plate at a Thanksgiving dinner. Why can't he pass this bill? Both Republicans and Democrats actually say they support it, and he can't get it done. Now, I know that the House is a real problem, but at least pass something out of the Senate this time around. That would be nice, because it would be a place to start. But for now, it really looks like things are still in the wait-and-see mode in cannabis. And at the same time, I don't know about Canada, but I can tell you here in the U.S., cannabis prices are going down because there's more and more supply all the time. You can see that in reports from these companies where they talk about their average price per unit and stuff like that. It's going down. There's more competition and there's more cannabis. There's a reason they call it a weed. So that's kind of weighing on the growth and earnings prospects for these companies. There's still a few I like. In fact, I still own one. But, you know, I mean, it's really hard to see any near-term upside. We really need things to move in Washington, D.C. before we actually get into this market. In fact, one of the major cannabis companies recently did some research. They hired a research firm to study why did their stock price move? What moved it up? What moved it down? The only thing that moved its share price in any conceivable way was rumors of legislation in Washington, D.C., or the failure. So that kind of tells you all you need to know about the cannabis market right now.
Now, with the debt ceiling, you'd think the U.S. government would look forward to a new source of tax revenue, money that people are already spending, and in at least half the states, illegally.
Yeah, I know. And that is an obvious thing, but I don't think the debt ceiling is really about spending. I don't think that's what the fight is about. Mm. The fight is about sticking it to your enemies. That's what the fight is about. And so, you know, the things that are logical, that appeal to you and me, they don't enter into this fight at all.
Well, I know the word logic and politics don't seem to match.
Yeah, exactly. Very much.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No. You know, I am bored to death with a dull market, but it's not a bad thing either just to wait and see what happens. So keep some money on the sidelines. Keep watching. I think that the pullback in gold can be bought, but again, a lot depends on what happens with the debt ceiling. It could be a really fast-moving market there, so you can play that or not. But we'll see how things play out over the next few weeks.
Sean, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at Weiss Ratings. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.